Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Sunday, 8 September 2024. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, The Heart Sutta, second edition. We are at page 73, chapter 12, or lesson 12. As usual, we were compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then we will have our pre-puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansiyin Pusa. Namo Guansiyin Pusa. Namo Guansiyin Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Bhusyan Pusa, Namo Bhusyan Pusa, Namo Bhusyan Pusa, Namo Dishangwang Pusa, Namo Dishangwang Pusa, Namo Dishangwang Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasahami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Anatipata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kame sumichachara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Usawada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajam. Buddhaṃ pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghaṃ pujami. Invocation to the devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajas sunanto sakamokkhadam dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa iti peso bhagava arahaṃ sammasambuddho vijjācaraṇa sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa sava dhammasārati satta deva manusānaṃ buddho bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pajatam veditabbo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho yaditam chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttaram punyam ketam lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated, then we will continue from where we stop. Page 73, lesson 12 of the Heart Sutta book. Okay, part one is a recapitulation and emphasis on what we have shared in the previous lesson. So 1.1 is to understand clearly what apamada or heedfulness is. Yeah, this is very important. Like the Buddha said, if you do not understand what apamada is, then you cannot train your mind to be heedful, to be ever mindful, constantly meditative while living life, while in the midst of life. So as per Dhammapada verse 21, the Buddha said, apamada or heedfulness is very important, because heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never dies, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So if you don't train yourself to develop this mind state of heedfulness or apamada, then spiritually you don't stand a chance. You are as if dead. You may be conscious of life, you may be existing through life, but you are never mindful, never aware within the moment. That's why you will never be able to understand what is going on in life, then truth will never reveal to you. So the seriousness of being heedless, we need to really be aware. That's why here I re-emphasize and define what heedfulness is, or pamada. Apamada or heedfulness means a mind that is ever mindful, bracket, without thoughts. So this first part is very important. To be ever mindful, first you must train the mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Means you are most of the time without thought, within. Then use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, following Dhammapada verse 23. So this heedfulness is in fact just an awareness within, a relaxed inner awareness within that is always aware and without thought. To see things as they are, to see the reality or the truth within all mental, physical and nature's phenomena, so that you can insight into their universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta. So once you understand what heedfulness is, then it's easy to develop it and train ourselves to make sure we are heedful throughout the day. So the first part is more difficult to train. Yeah. We need to develop the ability to be aware first, or mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. So what I have taught you is very important, the four support to develop awareness-based meditation. You must know how to relax body and mind, then allow the mind to be. Means without thought, you already aware. So don't try to be aware, don't try to do anything. Just relax, maintain awareness. Whatever arises, aware, finish. Aware, finish. Then let it settle down. So the third support after that is to stabilize this awareness until you are ever mindful within. Then after that, don't do anything, just stay silent. Then that mind that is silent can develop the understanding, the awakening, the wisdom. That is your true mind. The moment you are without thought, that true mind will arise. So living being's problem is you cannot be aware because you think a lot. You are so conditioned. Your conditioned thinking, your habitual thinking makes you heedless. That's why this understanding is very important. You must develop the ability to be aware within. And the best way to do it is either in the form of meditation, where you are in a formal position, not affected by anything, you just relax, maintain awareness. Yeah. The other way to do it is also not easy, but can be done, is to determine to be aware throughout the day. From the moment you are conscious or when you wake up, the first conscious moment, from that moment onward, maintain awareness. Whatever you do, aware. Lying down in the bed, aware. Then how you actually move and arise from the bed, fully aware of all the action, movement, and even your blinking of your eye, turning, stretching, bending, activity, even answering nature's call. Then the four postures, standing aware, walking aware, sitting aware, lying down aware. So technically it's almost everything you do while in the midst of life, maintain awareness. That's why my teacher say we choose a way of every action, every movement within the present moment. And he called that the highest meditation, which is to me very beautifully worded. Then after that, the second part is to use that mind that is ever mindful to meditate, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then when you are in that state of silent inner awareness, tranquility, stillness, your mind is not lost in thought, not preoccupied with the thinking. That's why there is clarity. It can enable you to see things as they are, to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the three universal characteristics. So seeing things as they are is to be in that state of silence, to observe, to understand how you become what you are, how you actually, through your wrong thought or habitual thinking, habitual tendencies, stir your mind and react to sense experience, resulting in the lack of peace and mental hindrance. Otherwise, you will be able to accept the reality of the moment and to be at peace with the moment. But because of habitual tendency, your conditioning, your belief system, a lot of your views, opinion, and conditioning make you like that. So after observing all this, then you start to understand how fear arises in you, how anger, emotion, insecurity, phobia arise in you. They arise because you accumulated them through memory. Then the accumulated memory, which is your conditioning, your belief system, everything that you hold on to within your mind state, from there you act. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. So on seeing all this, you realize all these are based on delusion, wrong view, wrong understanding. Without right view or right understanding, you cannot understand life. You cannot cope with life. That's why you continue to develop that dualistic negativity, or what we call the stirring of the mind, the reaction of mind to sense experience. So every time you stir, you react, you are not peaceful. It gives rise to like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant choice of reaction. So all this, see it clearly, observe it clearly, then you will come to know who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. Then you realize without the senses, you cannot be conscious. You can only be conscious because there are senses. As I conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. Then at the moment of consciousness, how you stir your mind, how you react to sense experience, based on your accumulated memories, views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, and habitual tendency, born of wrong view. See all this clearly. Then you will develop the understanding to straighten your view. You tell yourself, how can I not stir my mind the next time I see something or perceive something? Then you have to check the teaching. What did the Buddha teach us? The Buddha always say, we must silence our mind and learn to see things as they are. Jnana Dasana. Direct knowledge and vision of the reality. See things as they are means to see truth, to see the reality. Then we will come to the final understanding that the world is the world. People are just the way they are. Conditioned like that, things feel like that. Like the Buddha say, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Well, we live in a conditioned world of conditionality. So everything within the conditioned world, they are dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, cause of phenomena. Not a permanent, unchanging entity, not what you think. So do not be deluded, do not be deceived. Then you realize whatever that arises due to causes and conditions, it is not real, not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. There is no such thing. So apāda is very important. Now we move on to the next part. 1.2, applying the 6R technique. This one is a technique which is like the mind sweeping method, which is also quite good. If you know how to apply it, it can help you to relax your body and mind, to detect any tension or tightness within. This 6R always teach you how to detect your brain. It seems according to the monk Bhante Vimalaramsi, who started it, he realized there is a membrane in the brain that tighten when you have problem, when you have tension or tightness within, or when you have been distracted. So that way is to recognize that your mind has actually distracted or moved away. There is something distracting you. So now I read to you, hopefully you can understand. While meditating in a form of posture, if one feels any tension, tightness or distraction or stress within one's body and mind, then one must just recognize it. So the first R is to recognize. Take for example, when you have something distracting you, means it pulls your mind away from the inner awareness that you're supposed to be reside with. Yeah, that is your true mind. But when there is something, let's say itchiness or pain, or tension, stress, or tightness, in whichever part of your body, when they arise, it's a distraction. It distracts you and make you move away from your inner awareness. That's why you become like lost in that distraction. Then you start to perceive it either as a pain or itchiness, or restlessness of mind, or the lack of peace, or something bothering you, your worry, your anxiety, or you feel sleepy. So recognize it, he said, the first R. Then after that, don't fight it, he said, release it. That is the second R. So if you release it, you continue with the third R, which is relax into it. So when you relax into it, means whatever mind state that arises, means itchiness or pain or tightness or stress within or whatever, restlessness or whatever, that has caused the distraction. So you just relax into it and let it return to its original state before the stress or distraction. Just relax into it. Then after that, he said, in order to make you feel better, you re-smile. The fourth one is re-smile. And to do that, he said, you must learn how to radiate a radiant smile. Visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. So when you are able to have a radiant smile, you will be in a relaxed state without thought. Because when you are happy, you can smile. And when you can have a radiant smile, there is joy in you. So there is no more craving, nothing. So it's just a relaxed inner awareness without thought. Then the moment you relax, craving loses its strength. And this relaxed and radiant smile step are very important to make your mind feel at ease, light, tranquil, and free. So that is how they bring you back to your free mind, which is the original mind before the stirring, before the distraction, which is your true mind, your inner awareness nature. Yeah. So according to them, this training of the mind will enable you to decondition your mind from its heedless thinking and grasping to sense experience or any mental distraction. This will enable the cultivator to develop a silent, tranquil mind with heedfulness within naturally. We have the understanding that originally the true mind is already in the meditative state with clear inner awareness within. So there is no need to do anything, but instead just relax and maintain awareness or silence. We are letting things be. Then the heedless thinking and grasping born of wrong view or delusion will slow down and stop on its own. We are wisdom. The mind will then return to its original state of true silent inner awareness, without the thought, the ever-shining nature within, which is your true mind, will then shine forth. This ever-shining nature, which is the essence of mind, is always there. Then the fifth hour is, they recommend you to return to your object of meditation to train your mind to develop a very stable sati. If this training is still needed, I qualify it. Once the mind is already trained and constantly aware in sati or pasati throughout the day, then this fifth hour training is not required, no longer required, because mind has already entered sati. The sixth hour which they recommend is to repeat the above training, the first two, six, the fifth hour. But one need to be careful not to do it until it becomes mechanical or repetitive. This last step must be done with understanding, especially for those who are still trapped in thought-based meditation. Beyond the 6 hours is the awareness-based meditation, where the new four support of meditation are introduced. So these four support, I have listed them here. Right? Relax is the same. Relax into every mind state that arises. Relax body and mind completely. Yeah? Then aware, maintain awareness. Yeah? So this awareness is just your natural true mind. The silent mind without thought is already aware. Just maintain the awareness. Whatever arises within your sense or activity, just maintain the awareness. Stop there. No need to continue to let the thinking proliferate or decondition your heedless thinking by being aware. Finish. Then 24 hours here means maintenance of the awareness. If possible, for 24 hours throughout the day. Then the last one is trust. Trust your inner nature to develop the stability of inner awareness and the ability to continue with the internal movement or internal nature's transformation. The awareness nature that is already wise and intelligent will know how to detect and move. You no need to allow the thought to come in and direct it or interfere with the meditation. Because when the thought arises, it becomes thought-based. It's the thought that wants to direct and do the meditation. It's no longer trusting your nature to develop the natural movement on its own. Yeah. So that trust is not easy to do, but you also cannot do until you have stabilized your inner awareness nature, your sati, your mindfulness. Then whenever you want to do your formal meditation after that, you silence everything and stay at the heart and let the awareness detect whatever vibration or heartbeat or any pulsation within your heart area. When your mind has entered sati, it's very sensitive. It can detect them. Then wherever it move, wherever it go, wherever it detect, stay there. Just let it happen. Let it happen. Then after you stay there for a while, then it will stabilize. And if it need to move again, it will move on its own. So you just need to continuously relax, maintain awareness, and trust that nature to continue to develop the movement of activity. So this cover the recapitulation part. And part two, we continue. Heart Sutta, lesson 12. Explanation of the meaning of the text. This one is based on Xuanhua's commentaries. Page 23 to 24. He has a Heart Sutta written based on his commentary. So it's like the commentary, the opening verse by Master Xuanhua is Hui Guang Fan Zhao, means reverse the light to shine within. Abak Lokastivara vows to enlighten all sentient beings. Thus, he is a bodhisattva. Then Xuanhua says, his mind is thus unmoving. Ru Ru Putong in Mandarin. A superior one at peace. With total understanding of the ever shining, he is host and master. So this part is most beautiful, the description of the text. You see, reversing the light to shine within means you reverse all the awareness back to your nature, understand? Where your nature is within your heart area, there's a gateway to go in. So when you reverse the light, you can actually see your inner mind, the function, the working, and how from that nature things arise. The mundane thinking arise because we have a physical body with the senses, then we have a consciousness trapped inside. Upon contact, like the physics experiment, the light bulb lights up. So the lighting up is like you become conscious. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. And that's how you arise the consciousness. Then from there, like the Buddha said, initially in the seeing, there is only the seeing conscious. It's just like that light bulb, that conscious moment. So it can be a hearing consciousness or seeing consciousness or smell, taste, tactile or what. But there is no one to hear, no one to see, no one to smell, no one to taste, no one to tactile feel and think. It is just an impersonal, natural process that is naturally arising like the physics experiment. It's just natural. That's why the Buddha said in the seeing, it's just that consciousness, the seeing consciousness, no one to see. But our mind is so conditioned, so like full of habitual tendency. The moment it becomes conscious, it associates with the so-called that conscious moment. If you see, you associate with that seeing, then you come out with the sakkayaditti, the self-delusion. They say, I see, therefore I am. Then you become. That I am is you become. means you take the entity. Then from there, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, your fear, your phobia, insecurity, or whatever that you accumulated, that is what you are. You input the content based on your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, your views, opinion, and conditioning. That's why it has the mental intention within, whether moral or immoral, the content of consciousness with selfishness or with emotional negativity or with fear, everything, the whole content of consciousness will go in. And when you go in, that is where Sakkaya Ditti is, self-delusion. Then that wrong thought will cause you to react and stir. Then you cannot be at peace. Yeah. So here, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva say, reverse the light to shine within. Yeah. Then there is a vow, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara vow, to take across all sentient beings, to enlighten all sentient beings, to bring them across to the other shore. Therefore, he is a bodhisattva. And his mind is ru ru putong, means tas tas, unmoving. Well, that is our nature. Then that nature understands a superior one at peace, with total understanding of the ever shining. So when you understand that that is your nature, but it's not a being, it cannot come out in deep life, then you, like the hotel analogy, you are the host and master, understand? The guests of the hotel, they come and they go. They are not intrinsic within. So that which is non-intrinsic are dependent originating condition arising entity or phenomena. So it is unreal. Do not grasp onto them, do not cling onto them, do not give meaning to them. Otherwise, you will entangle yourself. So that is the deep meaning. So now I go on to explain. The first line of the above verse is very important. Because most of the time, our mind, human beings' mind, living beings who are heedless, you dwell outside to chase after external. External means external appearances, means the sense data that created the phenomenal world of ours. This is also the reason why the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, where he proclaimed that our mind is the forerunner of all things and our mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind or when the mind arises. So in order to understand what is going on, we need to return the mind to abide within so that we can be aware of what is going on within our mind. This is reversing the light to shine within, hui guang fan shao. Only then can we be aware of our content of consciousness within our mind. That is how our mind are stirred by external and conditioned into clinging and grasping by external, also created by the mind. We are our delusion and mental aggregates of Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. You will start to understand how thoughts and feelings arise in your mind with every moment of sense experience, and how they condition each other. How your thought with its conditionings, views and opinion condition your feelings, and then how this feeling becomes craving, emotion, to condition your subsequent wrong thought or wrong thinking. All this, if you are not mindful or heedful, you have not developed the wisdom or what we call yoniso manasikara, the initial wisdom at the moment of sense experience, to enable you to see things as they are, clinging and grasping will continue to arise, and dukkha or suffering will be the end result. So this part is by now I think should be very easy to comprehend and understand. The next verse. With total understanding of the ever shining, he is host and master. So the word host is synonymous to the owner of the innkeeper. The ever shining is our awareness nature, our Buddha nature. Imagine oneself as a hotel with six rooms, which is our six sense bases. These sense bases are like our room. And the sense data or external form are like the guests of our mind. For example, the guest of your seeing consciousness is color, shape, and form. Whereas vibration like music, sound, noise, etc., they are guests of the hearing consciousness. These guests of the mind are not like human beings, where they cannot talk or complain. So it's a lot easier to manage this hotel if one is not deluded. The host is always there to receive the guests. The guests of the mind, they will come and go. Hence, they are impermanent. As guests, they are here to stay for a while only. And most of the time, they stay for a split second only. But because of your delusion, you cling onto them as memories and give them meaning so that they can stay longer. So that they can stay for longer periods of time, thereby causing you all the misery and suffering, at times leading to depression. So this is what happened to living beings that are deluded. Instead of becoming the host and observing what happened, don't interfere. You get yourself entangled through your own sakyadity or self-delusion, and you will develop the wrong view or tendency to grasp, cling, and give meaning to stir your mind and cause your own suffering and misery, leading to depression. Then sometimes your attachment is so strong, you hold on to them as memories, yeah. Especially things that has affected you, yeah. Your phobia and all those things, your insecurity, your whatever clinging, grasping or attachment. If the mundane mind can reverse the light and shine within, then it can stay aware inside and see clearly how peaceful he is when he just allow them to come and go. We are perceiving them with wholesomeness or wisdom or right view, and also how he suffer and become miserable when he perceives them with negativity. We are his own wrong view and sakyadity to grasp and to cling onto them. We are wanting things their way or his way. So this is a very important understanding. That's why at the retreat I share with you all, there is no such thing as a problem in life if you understand how you created that problem. If you do not perceive a life situation with negativity, then there is no problem. Then everything is your teacher. You can learn from life. Then you can perceive with wholesomeness. Everything can become a blessing in disguise. Then thing is just the way it is. You have to come to terms with that reality. Beyond nature's law governs all of life and existence, the pancha niyamas. When conditions are already set, it cannot be otherwise. It goes the way of nature. Like my teacher say, only mighty nature rolling by. And like the Buddha said, thing is just the way it is, cannot be otherwise. When condition is like that, things will be like that. Then he also said, whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. Then whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. So all this points towards the reality, suchness, what is, ta-ta-ta. So when you understand all this, if you have the wisdom and the understanding to be at peace with everything based on this right view, then you got no problem. You will not stir your mind. You will not react to sense experience. You will not like get emotional, angry, blame, or do all those things that are not useful, that has negative tendency. Then you will not perceive things negatively. Then you will not want things your way, because this is the reality, nature's way. If you want things your way, which is not granted by nature, because condition already said things is just the way it is, cannot be otherwise. So if you cannot understand this and you don't come to terms with this, you will suffer. So ability to have this understanding is most important. That's why this part, you have to contemplate, stabilize the understanding until it can become a living reality. Until you can understand that everything that arises within this world are causes and conditions already set. And that is the reality. So initially you have to be at peace. Then with a mind that is in that state of clarity, not affected, that does not perceive things with negativity, without fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, then you can act. Then you ask yourself, how can I resolve all this amicably? And that's how you act. Act with what? The teaching, Noble Eightfold Path. Having right view to accept the reality, then you arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood to act appropriately. Then develop the four right effort to constantly purify your mind states. Then after that, you must also arise the appropriate right mindfulness, stabilize it until it becomes samadhi. So samadhi is a stability of awareness or mindfulness that is unwavering. Unwavering and collected. So when you can have that mind, this mind does not stir. That's why they call it ru ru putong. Unmoving. So when you have all this understanding, then your mind becomes different. Then you can act, you can understand life and live life. Then you will be able to develop all the appropriate understanding and wisdom to overcome whatever karmic negativity that might arise. Karma is such. When you have the wisdom to confront them, you do not suffer, then they reverse themselves immediately. But if you do not have the wisdom, when you confront them with delusion, then it will condition you to make mistakes. We call it the karmic conditioning. When the karmic conditioning arises, it will condition you to think the wrong thought, so that you will act negatively. You will develop all the fear, worry, anxiety, and the suffering. This is what the Buddha meant by, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. That's why in the fifth daily contemplation, he said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. So if karma plays such a big role in our life, so definitely whatever arises within life and existence It has a lot to do with our past coming, inheritance or activity that we have arisen. So all these are the right understanding that you can develop out of it. Then you can put it to test in life to see whether it's the truth or not. So this understanding is very important. I will read on this one more section. I haven't finished. Maybe I'll reread the top part again. When he is aware within and see clearly how peaceful he is when he just allow them to come and go. We are perceiving them with wholesomeness and wisdom or right view. And also how he suffer and become miserable when he perceive them with negativity via his own wrong view or security to grasp and cling onto them. We are wanting things his way, which is not nature's way. This will enable him to develop the wisdom to understand that if he, the host, does not attach, cling or react, then he is always peaceful and is not disturbed by the gas of the mind. Then life is wonderful and meaningful, and the gas of the mind can also be quite fun at times. So that is how you should understand life. So you can be at peace with life, that everything is just the way it is. No need to worry about life. No need to react to life. So this is wisdom, born of right understanding. When you have this understanding, you can live life. You can accord and flow with life. Then life can take a turn and become very meaningful, wonderful. It's just like the Heart Sutra saying, when you realize true emptiness, 真空妙有, then existence become wonderful. Okay, 2.2. Host is always there to stay, but guests, they come and go. These are the other important reminder, the note. So that true nature of ours, the Buddha nature, that nature is always there. That nature is the witnessing. But through that witnessing, it develops wisdom and understanding. And this wisdom and understanding that is connected to the form and mind through this awareness nature will be the one that enable the form and mind to understand life and live life. Then the second important note is, each and every one of us, we hold the key to our own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy depends entirely on our choice. Then why are you not happy? If we choose to be happy, then no one can make us unhappy. Unless we ourselves allow ourselves to be unhappy via our own delusion. So this one is very important. It's a matter of having the right understanding. Because we can really develop the understanding to come out of suffering. We hold the key to our own life destiny. So we decide how we want to live our life. If you want the happy life, then avoid Dhammapada verse 1. Train your mind to be heedful, to follow Dhammapada verse 2. It's as easy as that. Then number 3, this is also a very important understanding. Thought is like money, and money is neither good or evil. Because to define whether it is good or evil depends on the user of money and thought. If the user of money or thought is evil, then money or thought will also become evil. If the user of thought has wisdom, then thought become right thought or wholesome thought. So the user of thought is the most important. Hence, do strive on with heedfulness to develop the right view and wisdom more and more. So this understanding is very important. Eh? Without wisdom, the user will be deluded. Okay, part 3. There is an email number 4 on page 9 of my email compilation notes on understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Okay, 3.1. Commentaries on the three turnings under Theravada and Mahayana. Bharatiya explained that the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths given in Pali under the Theravada tradition is very accurate. Mahayana explanation compared to Theravada differs a bit. The problem with most cultivators is they cling onto the first turning and never get down to the nitty-gritty of the second turning where all the hard work is. For more detail, please refer to email number 4, page 9 of my email compilation note on understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, dated 14 May 2007. I think this is also in our brotio.com website, yeah? Under the publication there. Oh, we finished lesson 12. Huh? Okay. Now we continue with lesson 13. Okay, part 1, recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson. So, Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23. Yeah? Okay, I just read through. I think by now we all should be very familiar. Heedfulness means a mind that is constantly meditative and ever mindful. To develop clear understanding and wisdom, we are seeing things as they are. So this definition is a more complete definition. It's like a summary of what you can develop after you have developed the heedfulness. So when you are heedful, the mind is constantly meditative, ever mindful. Then when you have this mind, it can develop clear understanding and wisdom. We are seeing things as they are. Understanding the importance of heedfulness, we are understanding the following important Dhammapada verses under the Appamada Vaga, means the verses on heedfulness. So under the famous Dhammapada verse 21, the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. And he said, the heedful do not die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. Means, if you are not able to be heedful in the midst of life, you are as if dead. Spiritually, you don't stand a chance. Spiritually, you are as if dead. Although you may be conscious of life, consciously living the heedless life, but spiritually you don't stand a chance. Then Dhammapada verse 22 is a continuation, a follow-up from Dhammapada verse 21. The Buddha said, distinctly understanding the difference, the wise who intend on heedfulness will rejoice in the realm of the Aryas, or the enlightened ones. So when you see distinctly, able to understand the difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, then you will intend on heedfulness. Then you will rejoice in the realm of the Aryas, or enlightened ones, means destined for enlightenment. Then verse 23 confirms everything, and also define what heedfulness is. He said, the constantly meditative and ever mindful and steadfast one realize the supreme bond-free Nibbana. So this part is very assuring, give you the understanding that the moment you are heedful, you are whole. Means you will realize the supreme bond-free Nibbana. Okay, part two. We continue. So mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. It wants to speak, act, and think with a wicked mind or unwholesome mind. That has the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That suffering will follow one, like the wheel that follows the hoof of the cow. So this one is Dhammapada, verse 1. If you choose to be heedless, if you choose not to train your mind, then you will act, speak, and think with an unwholesome mind or a wicked mind that has an evil root of greed, hatred, and delusion, and then suffering will follow you. So this one is easy to understand. Yeah? So if you choose to be heedless, following the Dhammapada verse 1, then your life will end up in suffering. So that is your choice. Then the opposite is true if you choose to be heedful. Dhammapada verse 2 leads to happiness. The Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. If one speaks, acts, and thinks with a pure or wholesome mind, that is free of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then happiness will follow one like the shadow that never leaves him. So this one is very clear. If you choose to train your mind, knowing that your mind is very powerful, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief, where mind arises, all things arise. If you choose to train your mind to be mindful, heedful, then you will act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind or a pure mind, which is free of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leaves you. So these are very important understanding. And like we come to the conclusion that each and every one of us, we hold the key to our own life destiny. So if you choose to be happy, please follow Dhammapada verse 2. Unless you choose to be unhappy, then continue to be heedless. Okay, 2.3. Why is the teaching or the Dhamma is taught by the Buddha during his time becomes different as it gets passed down over the years? This is a very good question. So my answer is because the Dhamma was passed down via using words and speeches which are verbal in nature. And as we all know, words are subject to various forms of interpretation, hence the division. For example, when asked about what is the first noble truth as taught by the Buddha, most often than not, we get the standard answer and very popularly accepted answer. In fact, a lot of Buddhists during the early day when I come out to share, I ask this question, what is the first noble truth? They always tell me, life is suffering. And this is very dangerous because the Buddha never said that. The Buddha instead proclaimed that there is a first noble truth that explains clearly what dukkha or suffering is. And according to Lord Buddha, there are 8 conditions in life or realities in life and existence that can give rise to suffering when one confronts them without wisdom. So actually, the first noble truth explained to us the prevalence of suffering, not life is suffering. That suffering is everywhere if you confront the 8 reality without understanding. And since they are realities, means everybody is subject to all these eight realities. So what are they? They are the realities of birth, old age, sickness and death. When you are with people whom you don't like, when there is a separation, when there is separation from your loved one or your prized possession, things that you hold on to dearly, when you cannot get what you want, or when things don't go your way, or when your expectations in life are not met, etc. Then no matter who you are, and how wealthy or powerful you are, if you live long enough, you will confront all these realities of life and existence. The Buddha then went on to proclaim that there is a cause behind all suffering, and the cause is always craving, born of delusion. This is the second noble truth. Then under the third noble truth, the Buddha says suffering need not be, but there is a noble truth that explains the possibility of cessation of suffering in the here and the now. Then finally, the Buddha taught the fourth noble truth, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, namely the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. And if one cultivates this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all dukkha or suffering. So these four noble truths, they are like the secret of life. They explain to us all of the important understanding of life. It can summarize to you all of life, both mundane and supramundane. And when you understand this four noble truth, you understand life. Then you can live life. Then you need not suffer. Okay. The next part, 2.4. Important definition. 自在 means me in the moment. And it means to be at ease. False thinking means heedless thinking. 妄想 Then number three is also very important. If one is not right here or aware within this moment in pure awareness, it means you are lost in thought. When you are not here, means you are lost in thought. Then the first pronunciation, 觉, means enlightenment. And the second pronunciation is 脚, means stir or trouble. So the pronunciation of the word is very important. Okay, part 3. Email number 4, the turning of the four noble truth. So training of the mind to be heedful, two steps are involved. So in the early day, before people have the condition to understand the awareness-based meditation, I have to use the what they call the provisional teachings way of sharing, means we call it the skillful means. I teach them the mind supreme method combined with metta. Then for those who know how to use the 6R, you can also combine with the 6R or use some object of meditation like anapanasati. Then finally silence your mind to be heedful within. We are relinquishing the object of meditation, that is mind is constantly meditative and ever mindful to continue the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. So all this mind-sweeping method, metta, combined with metta, 6R, and also using object of meditation, these are initial skillful means to train the mind to develop sati. After you have done it, then you need to actually stabilize it until mind enters sati. Then after that, you have to relinquish the object of meditation or whatever skillful means that you have developed from the beginning. Just towards the end, you need a very stable awareness within, which is the mind must enter sati, means your mindfulness has to be very stable, very, very well developed until it has that refinement of stability until it enters sati. When mind enters sati, everything you do is in sati. Every moment of your seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought, they are in sati. That is the stability that you need to establish. Okay? So I'll read on. The mind sweeping method is a very good and useful, skillful means to train the mind to be at the location you want it to be. And it also trains you to feel and not to think. Then you continue to relax whatever tension, tightness or stress within the location you feel, like starting from your forehead, etc. Then to enable you to be in that state of relaxed inner awareness, to realize the tranquility, peace, quietness, and calmness within when there is no thinking, then your mind will be peaceful, at ease, and without thought after deconditioning it from your habitual heedless thinking and worrying, etc. Okay, we stop here. We will have our awareness-based meditation, 45 minutes, we are off the light. So remember the four support, especially the first three. Relax, maintain awareness. Ability to relax and let things be is very important. When you let things be, means only your awareness nature is left. So that one, aware, finish. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just relax. Then maintain awareness, and let things be. Let everything settle down, stabilize. Then you will become very beautiful. Okay. I will set the alarm now, 45 minutes. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. So now we are back to second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, and also whatever sharing Dhamma in daily life that you want to share based on your experience and whatever cultivation.
Yo, Brother Teo, don't know what to say.
Never mind, the retreat. I go by Sui Yu and Sui An, they all. Wow. Continuously there. The retreat was very good.
Thank you for the teaching, and many things have I've been doing many things following your advice.
Oh, and very good. Sadhu.
So today was a very good revision.
Yeah.
All the Dhammapada verses. And you remember we used to go up to get to the Camerons many years ago.
Yes. Yeah.
Lee Hoon and Isaac will say, "Oh no, he's starting again on Dhamma verses 22 and 3," and then they laugh at it. But you know, it has sunk in quite nicely. And even today, just the 45 minutes sitting.
Different,
I can go into it. I mean, I'm not trying to say anything, but it's the training that
Yeah, you can relax and settle down, and develop
I
the tranquility within the stillness.
and I can
Okay.
go in almost like 1 second into the and of course not all the time, huh? Sometimes my
Ah, good
mind's
enough.
but
That sudden, even 1 second of tranquility and stillness without thought, that is good enough.
well, it lasts longer than going in is 1 second. I was shocked. I really was shocked a few minutes ago when it happened. But can do that. And
Yeah.
also, in your retreat, I stayed in your retreat. It was about an hour, I think.
Sadhu, that
And
is very
it
good.
was purely no thought
Yeah,
because
that awareness just stay there without thought.
yeah. And then I went out of that your meditation session because remember I told you
Yeah.
7 to 9 I would go to the Longpo because he has also given us, you all are both wonderful teachers. I don't know what to do without you.
Okay.
But when I went in for his first English session, it was like I slipped from the no thought 1 hour and immediately into the other hour without thought. So it was 2 hours without the mundane
Sadhu, that
mind.
is very, very good.
And
If you
in
can do
your
that, means you stabilize your inner awareness soon.
and then you talked today about the reversing of the light from
Yeah.
outside into the inside.
Weifang
It
fanzhao,
was what had happened at that
yeah.
time. But now I can understand it much more clearer
Other.
again. Because when you go inside, then you see the body, anicca, dukkha, and anatta, the three characteristics, becomes clearer. Maybe sometimes we cheat a bit, okay? But generally, it's like so, where actually I've learned somehow or other. It just went into the four elements and the consciousness, the space consciousness, the awareness, and then the space and the awareness consciousness, and then the awareness will look. It has already, mind has already gone inside, not really
Yeah,
in the
yeah,
way,
yeah. It's no longer
but
external, means out.
yeah,
Most people
so.
are lost in thought. They are actually hideously entangled with the external phenomenal world. That's why the mundane
Yeah.
mind arrives already. They start to perceive, react, and give meaning to everything outside. But when
So
you go in, there is no sense data. You only with your mind, which is the inner awareness nature. Then whatever arises at the sense door, it aware, finish,
yeah.
aware,
Then
finish. Then after that, it become quiet, quiet, quiet.
exactly like you said, you know. And not only that, it was the awareness was because you're in that state without thought, your mind is very alert,
Yeah,
you
very,
know,
very
and it
clear.
is so clear
Attentiveness, that alertness, that awareness.
that
And that
we can.
one is a free mind, not in samadhi
Wow,
concentration.
the head section was completely light. Because there is no baggage up at the top.
Yeah.
And then it was the awareness looking at the consciousness which kept on getting larger. If
Correct. That one, as the consciousness move or manifest from the awareness nature, you see, you can see it. Your awareness can be aware of that movement.
and then this one thing, and I'm just sharing what that the Longpo thought. And I actually realized, I said, oh my goodness, this is happening. It is about the consciousness became the subject, you know, looking at the knowing. The knowing is you see the movement rising, falling of the all the elements and all that. But actually, it still stays with its entwined, but it is, how should I say? It is intertwined, but it is together. It's the body and all the five aggregates all showing up like that. So it became eventually, it's like the awareness is seeing the consciousness and the knowing. That the knowledge that I'm talking about is the breaking of the you begin. It's not that I've lost the Atta completely. No. You still have the Atta. A little bit here,
You have
footloose.
to slowly develop the clear understanding
Yeah.
when your stability or awareness become more stable. What you are describing it is, maybe I explain to you, then you can understand better too. You see, the knowing is the perception already.
Yeah.
The one that you describe, the rising, falling, or whatever, all these phenomena is actually the mundane aspect of the mind. But at that moment, because you are more or less quite quiet, quite still, you can observe this and you can use word to describe it. But later on, the awareness that is aware of all this movement is an independent entity. It's not a knower. The knower means the thought come out already, the perception out already. That nature that is aware got no word, nothing one. It's just that thing. You cannot describe, you cannot talk about, but it is fully aware of all the activity and movement without words. And that is the stability that you need. Then, apart from that, don't try to conceptualize the understanding. Once you say the consciousness and the knower, and there is another in the background, that one is the description part. Don't try to describe. Don't try to conceptualize. Just silence everything. Then let the silent mind become more and more stable. Then whatever arise, let it be. It's just like you are that nature witnessing. You understand or not? That nature witnessing. Because just now you say the Atta is still there, means that egoic mind is still there.
I can see it.
Definitely, because
I
it's the thought trying to know. Although
but
you are in that state which is more quiet, but you have not settled down until it has become the awareness nature, truly without thought. Then the floating of the thought, the manifestation of phenomena is from that awareness nature come out on. That's why that two is very near. You need to silence until the awareness becomes so quiet, so still, then suddenly there's a shift of consciousness, completely, you enter another realm of awareness where completely you know there is no thought, no activity, no sankhara, no movement, but there is an awareness nature that can be aware. The moment you're aware, it come out already. Then you can stay there. You can stay there. Then the inquiry part is the mundane mind actually come out to inquire already. But don't worry, because when you are there, you can see the nature is the nature without word. Then how the word come out and take the form of the mundane activity, you will see it very clearly on. That one needs stability. So what you experience is a grosser aspect before it goes in. That's why you say the Atta is still there. Later on, that whole thing gone. That Atta also gone. Because that one is in the egoic mind. The
I
mind.
have done it before, Brother Teo, but very short thing where completely.
Correct, correct. Because most of the time you are with that entity that want to know. That's why they say the one that want to know. They always say stay with the knower. Actually, don't. The knower is actually the thought really. There is nobody inside there.
And the
In
other thing.
Thailand, they like to use the word stay with the knower. Actually, there is nobody to know. There is no knower at all.
Oh,
But that one is a thought describing the knower. The awareness nature is a nature that has no word, nothing. No duality, nothing. It's just aware. Like when you are in a very tranquil state, let's say middle of the night, very quiet. Then suddenly the traffic all gone, no more vibration, no more. Then you suddenly realize that nature is very tranquil and still. The silence of nature. Silence of nature is without any vibration, no. Means without any sense data to imprint on your eardrum to trigger off what they call hearing consciousness, no. But who is the entity that is aware of the silence without sense data? That is your awareness nature. That one is without word one. That one is a essence of mind, the nature inside that. Because without sense data also you can be aware, means that is not dependent originating. That is not condition arising. That is the nature within. And the moment you want to describe it, the word come out already. The thought process come out already. That is very near. From there, it surface and become what it is very fast. So learn to stabilize. Then don't try to know. Don't even attach to any concept or word that they share with you. The knower, the consciousness, forget about all those things. Just silent. Then through your own direct seeing, direct awakening, understand what is inside that. Then you will use your own word. You don't have to use other people's word. And you can describe what happened inside there very clearly and very easily. That will help you to go in more deep and develop the understanding so that you can understand what that thing is in a more in-depth manner.
Joe, can I say something?
Can. Yeah.
You know, as you are talking and teaching me this, I go into, I think, some kind of absorption. I don't know what it is, but all I know is I'm hearing from the heart area. I don't ask me, but the how should I say, the movement in the body is slowing down to,
yeah, the vibration, everything like slow down to you.
Because I have been in that state before, but you know that's not good enough. It's not stable. But now, even as you did that, it was just slowing down to that kind of state. And I know, I shouldn't say I know, but I don't know how to use words actually to describe all this. But it will come to a stage where it just stop. Has done before, so. Surely there must be. I don't know what it is.
Never mind. But you just let that thing stabilize. Yeah. Then later on, you will understand. Because you can stay at the heart, like you say, listening from the heart, but like not listening like that. That is very good. Because that is from the awareness.
Yeah.
The heart of listening means without thought, without interference from the mundane activity. Or the mundane mind's conditioning, the belief system, the conditioning, the views, the opinion. Once that one doesn't come in and interfere, means you are listening from the heart, your true awareness nature. And when you listen from there, initially it's like no word at all. Like what you described just now. It's like you are listening from there at the heart area. That is very good. That is the art of listening without the interference from the memory side. Your views, opinion, conditioning doesn't come in. You stay there and continue to develop this. Initially, don't try to know. That awareness nature that is inside there, finally it will awaken to it and you will understand. And the understanding is the wisdom that manifests from that silent mind that is aware. That one by itself, even no one, no need memory, nothing, no need concept, no need rationalization of understanding, no need one.
Can I relate something to what happened a few months back? Someone gave me a talk by Ajahn Dee Toon, the monk. It's called On the Path. And it's all about the qualities of a noble one. This book was thrown away in the Brookfield's Vihara in the dump. She picked it up. She saw it and she read it and she just had a quick look and she said she was making a, to her, inside her, I didn't know about it. She immediately made a photocopy for me. So when she said that, I said, wow, why you do that? She said, I don't know. So anyway, I got the book and I sat down in the desk because I can't go out too much with all this long COVID.
Because of your conditions.
So I sat on the chair, I put the book in front of me and I read it. Just sit 2 hours over. I looked at the watch. The first time I saw it was like, it was in my brain. It was in the, at first, it was something like in the mind, up in the brain area, where the words were going through in like an empty screen or something, and then the words were coming through. And then in a short while, it sort of started to disappear, and I was turning the pages, reading, but don't ask me what I knew. It was like, I seem to know everything that's going on, and yet I don't know. It's, you know, you perceive and you don't perceive, it's just there. So it is in a way like what I go through when I'm going through this kind of you know, trying to go into going in, not trying, it just does it by itself when you into the empty nature of the mind, and then you just see things and it just goes off. And I it's exactly like what happened in the book. So after the 2 hours, I just realized, oh, I finished the book and it's already 2 over hours, where there was no thought coming in of like, you know, what am I going to cook tonight? Oh, you know, someone's going to come. Gosh, I didn't do this. No such thing. It's nothing was there. Everything was empty, but not empty. So where do does that take us?
What
Does
does the book describe to you?
I
What does
just
that book
described to
describe
you
to you?
what goes on, but I don't I
You
just
can
know
remember what the book tell you?
all I can I know is that the
You
book
say
is
it is the
all the
characteristics of a
qualities
noble one.
is it
Then
is
what
all
is
about
it
that,
described there?
you know, the non how should I say, like all the Brahma Viharas are there.
Yeah, the
The
four Brahma
For
mind
example,
states.
non-perception, just like you said, accepting things as they are, as they come, and was you use the word ru rūptōng. Ru rūptōng, you translate it as thus, unmoving. But for me, I always interpret it as ru rūptōng as if motionless, no motion. It's just there. I you know, just like you understand, but you cannot say out all those things, and then I have to go back and read again. I say, oh, that's what I seem to understand. That's the only time when I know that it has gone in to some extent. Beyond that, I don't even question. I don't even need to know, because it maybe it's not time for me to ask all these
Maybe
things.
you are going through that process. Maybe that is your way. But the actual meaning of Ru Ru Putong is because that is the nature. The nature got no word one. It was originally primordial, is already like that, tas tas. It cannot be otherwise already. So that one, very powerful. We are from there, all thing arise. From there, all wisdom arise. From there, all understanding arise. So unless cultivator of the way can reach and realize that and stay there with the stability or awareness to be with that nature, like what the 5 stages of Bodhi mind development describe. Under the third stage, Bodhi mind that illuminate that nature. That one is the ability of the cultivator to actually stay with it and be with it until it illuminates that nature, until that nature becomes very clear. That's why it's described in the text that ever shining. Yeah. The host. That is the unmoving one. Yeah. That is the nature within. So that one, later on, you will come to understand. Once you understand that, then I saddle you.
No, not far. But the light, the brightness is there, but that's still a limit. I think it's
no,
probably
no. That one is just a nature. You cannot describe. It's not see
I don't
or
know.
what.
Yeah, but
It's just
it's
that
like
nature.
a lightness and a brightness.
That one is a manifestation from that one, because people use the word light and all those things, like ever shining. Or it's actually representing that nature. That nature, you cannot talk about it, you cannot discuss. It's just like that. That's why the word Ruru Putong is very good description. Unmoving. Means originally it was really like that. But from there, all things arise. Just like what Hui Ning, the sixth patriarch, when he heard from the fifth patriarch, the Diamond Sutta, on the verse where the mind, that mundane mind, you must know how to use it and not be affected by it. Then he came to great awakening. Then he knew how amazing is that, that nature is already perfect by itself. Then all Dharma are never apart from that nature. All Dharma arise from that nature. Then he completely awakened and developed the understanding. Because once that important aspect of that mind that arise from there is made known to him, basically you must know how to use it and not be deluded by it. The sixth patriarch, Hui Ning, completely awakened. Because that is the missing understanding that he need from the fifth patriarch. Because he was born without the mundane mind. Then he got a supramundane mind. So this supramundane mind is a result of that nature shining forth, that nature coming out. But for him, he was born without the mundane mind. That's why he cannot understand. So when the fifth patriarch told him that, he came to great awakening, he connect back. Then he realized that was how the mundane, supramundane mind manifests. Then he senses everything. It still function, but because it's non-grasping already, it's a supramundane mind that shine for, and he used that. That's why from there he became completely transformed. Then after that he lie low for 16 years, I think, with the hunters. Then he came out. So that sutta was very beautiful. That's why the poem that he come out with, the counter sincere, reflects the depth of his understanding and wisdom. Very good. Not bad.
Just last comment is that I think this is all about the loosening and the weakening of the mundane mind.
Yeah. You go through all those stages. You slowly, slowly move through.
So,
and everybody is different. Your way, maybe you go through that way, which is good for you. So that's why you continue to discover and investigate and find out for yourself. But my advice is, don't try to know. Stay with the awareness nature until it becomes very stable. Then on its own, it will understand one. Yeah. So what they share with you and you read, if you can understand, then you no need to remember. Just let it be. Don't conceptualize it or rationalize it and try to understand. Well, that one is knowledge already, thought already. Forget about it. Yeah. Even when you contemplate, reflect, under a very ideal, tranquil mind state, then the understanding when it's stabilized, no need to remember. If you don't remember, then the real wisdom will come out. You try to remember and retrieve through memory, that one is not the real one. That one is still knowledge. Because you're still most cultivated towards the end, they want to conceptualize it and make it into an understanding. No, you go through that means you are doing it the opposite. Yeah, this one, the nature that awakened to it, the insight into it, that awakening is without word one, from inside one. You don't have to remember it one. So
Thank
that part.
Hi, good afternoon, Brother Teo. This is Teo. Sister Tree's sharing. Brother Teo 讲的是对的。其实以前，我经历很多 experience， 其实出来的时候好像猛查查这样。走着走着，他就你就越来越清楚，越来越清楚。
对，
你就到，就好像那天我在 Cameron Retreat 的那整个，但就是来你从你的nature 出来这样子，或者你 station 从你的 very deep silence 出来，
对，
然后慢慢你看到那个那个怎样的 manifest。去，然后去你的 brain， 然后出来。
对，
All this,
how it retrieve the consciousness，
slow motion， 当时他看到整个 process 怎样 animate 你出来，
and become a human being，
对，
一个 become conscious again，
这样你就其实他是没有字，但是我还是要慢慢去找字来讲。
对。To describe it, I say you will use your own word to describe what happened. That is what the Buddha meant by pachatang, pachitang, can be realized by the wise each for themselves.
Nature 在后面看到所有的一切，但是你是一个就好像你在后面看戏，我所说的好像在后面。对，他 witness 你所有的一切的 movement。所以这个 radio 的 sharing 是非常的准确，因为我们每个比 I think 所有的人经历的都是一样的的
一样的 understanding。
对，是的。And then, Brother Joe, actually, 其实我昨天我有去我的 farm.
Oh, do.
you know, there was six puppies there. So,
这么多了。
对，因为我把它关在一起，我不要，因为我把它清理它的那些手啊、脚啊。说我清洁了他们，然后我就关注他们，围着他们，然后他们在那边哇哇哇哇哇，但是我后来我发觉到我的 awareness stay 在我的 heart， 我根本是那个是好像他 disturb 不到你这样子，
对，
就是你就是回去你自己的那个，就是我一直我在那个在处理一点脏了，我就在那边，
对，
但是我在处理之际呢，我就我闻到其实我没有去把外面的声音带进来的，
对，
你 perceive， yeah, 但是你 perceive 有你知道有声音，但是你。不会被干扰到，你好像又 stay 在你的 heart 这边，而且
就好像刚才那个 example inside the 鲜花的 explain， you are the host， 那个 guest of the mind they can come and go， so you 你不用去给他 like deceive 啦，还是 deluded by it 啦，还是给他影响啊，你要做什么你就做什么The mind will know what to do, but they know it's all unreal, not what they are. 一切有为法，如梦幻泡影。Then it becomes very clear. That's why you will understand all this. Then you will understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being, and how living being manifest the wrong thought to create all the wrong views, opinion, conditioning, belief system.And input the wrong content and get themselves entangled. 你看到清清楚楚了啊 ，that wisdom once stabilized 啊，你不会给他影响到的了。就像 like what you describe, they are just the way they are. And the puppy very cute one when, very young that time you put them together, they will do all those stuff. But you will just have the awareness to be aware and just let it be. And 他有他的 beauty 哦。 That's why everything become like pristine, wonderful. That is the way nature is. That is what existence and life is. So when you have that wisdom and understanding, you can be within your nature doing what you want to do. Then you can also let it come out. That's why I say you want to know, you can know. But you will not be deluded by what happened or deceived by the mundane creation and thinking and all those things. So that transformation needs stability or awareness, understanding to see it very clearly. 你现在就是 ability to do that is because you saw that very clearly earlier on. Where you went in deep, then when you come out, you saw the paticca-samuppanna, the dwelling, how that actually my mundane thinking retrieve and move like slow motion. So that is the power of mindfulness, the awareness, sati. When it's very stable, when it awaken and the insight in the phenomena, it can see all this. And all this become like very beautiful, very clear. Sadhu, 很好, Alicia.
Yeah, but 就虽然是一个小小的,
它是给我,对,很厉害了,不是,能够到这个境界是不错的了。原来可以这样的。生命可以这样的,very beautiful.
所以,真空妙有,
真空妙有,对,你就会理解到那个 stanza, and it's really beautiful.
有就是我想分享一下前几天我翻阅我的那些 notes, you know, 我之前读金刚经 notes，他说我们金刚经的启示就是给我们的开示了哈，就是其实我们在修八种心，他说。
对，八种心的第一个是平常心，他说，对对对，连平常心，然后第二就是安定的心，peaceful
mind，然后要奉献的心，奉献是哈啊，然后就无相的心，啊，啥都那个不容易哈，然后另外一个就进取心，就我讲的那个 viriya 了哈，就是，然后还有就是无助心。
啊，无助心是最难的，然后还有要当下心的，那个是Sajna，mind，然后就是随缘心，我看了，其实来来去去不讲这一个mundane的心，要把那个随缘心啊，就是智慧很定了，很厉害了，otherwise you cannot get it
one，然后这随缘，所谓每天都我。 以前我们每天会讲，哎呀，随缘自在了。但是要做到随缘自在这个境界是不容易的，因为
那个wisdom要 stabilize 到很厉害，
six senses 稍微这个five啊，从来怎么讲啊？重叠就是inter这样子哦，就把。 搞在那个所谓的 mundane mind 里面
yeah, 整天在那边 reactive 啊, stir, react then like 很 kepo 这样 这个也要 interfere 那个也要 interfere
所以我在想之前我有读过有一个说法是其实树哦树就是说那种植物啊 嗯，他们都可以来，我们 divert 它，它就可以顺着方向。对
，accord and flow 啊，对。我那个 teacher Achayantra 他说 ，nature is our greatest teacher。嗯。And nature 很 patient 的，对不对？嗯。那个 weather very extreme or what 啊，他不会 complain 哦，他对也接受，不对也接受。 Then 无论如何都要忍住，忍住就是 follow me 那个 perfection. So when you can accept the reality of the moment, which means whatever happened, they will just endure. Then during the harsh condition or weather or during the autumn or what, they will like 掉那个叶啊。 They were like they call what idea? Like they drop their leaf to actually hibernate and to bud again when the next spring or summer. Means Tapu Hei Chi like complain or go against nature, fight against nature, develop other. No, they just accord and flow. Then condition too harsh, they just allow the thing to be. Then when there is favorable condition, they part again. Then they arise again. So all this is what wisdom is within nature. Because 他们没有 consciousness. Their consciousness is not like the sophisticated human one. Theirs is like photosensitive, light sensitive and all those things. And very low level of consciousness. So for them, they don't know how to be cunning, they don't know how to complain, they don't know how to react and become emotional. No, they don't have such complicated and complex consciousness. So they are like very beautiful, like a newborn baby, very primitive, very easy to adopt and adjust. So the accord and flow with condition really need that type of understanding which is very stable. Then only you can actually manifest that way. Like the tree and all those things, the plant outside, even thunder or what, they all got no fear, nothing, they endure. Then when the weather subsides the next day, when the sun rises again, they become normal again. Then without wind, they become still. They accord and flow with nature's condition. So all this, if you are observant, when you can listen from the heart, then you can feel them. Their vibrations are very different from human consciousness. Human consciousness, most of the places where a lot of human beings are, the consciousness is very distorted. A lot of what they call heatless vibration, not the soothing type one. But when you are at a place where the nature is very beautiful, the rock formation, the nature, or less human consciousness, the stillness is very still. Ta-ta-ta-不一样咯,他们 echo and flow one, the consciousness, not the one that is busy with all the mundane thinking and negative thought process. So 很不一样, very good, sadhu.
But you actually, I always relate 那个 plant 哦, as like 我们这样子, 因为 其实 plant 哦, 其实他们的生命力很坚强, 我觉得,
yeah, yeah,
因为
很坚强,
right.
They really 很坚强, that they were endure. They 不会 complain or whatever. They were, when the situation is very adverse, they will shed their leaf and lie low and bud again when the seasons are there. 很坚强,对,你那句话是对的。
因为我的 farm 有一棵榴莲树就是这样, 它就是好像 Brother Dio 讲的, 它的 leaf 全部 drop, drop down 很厉害, you know, from a very healthy one. So 我每次去我就跟他 send meta 给他。
谈话,你 send meta,
你坚强一点哦,真的, 因为我也不大懂, 我说你坚强一点。 然后 yesterday 我去, 我看到他就好像 Brother Dio 讲的, 很 new bud 开始出,
yeah, yeah, 慢慢
yeah,
就
like
bud again,
yes.
我母亲也是很厉害的, 她跟 plant 谈的, and the plant really listened to her, and he like green finger, you know. My house, very small, very tight land area. When she come down, stay with me, my wife was so surprised. You know. He can really plant all those green ones, you know. And the plant, very healthy, very beautiful, until my wife also learn how to love, do gardening and all those things. That's why my wife also learned from her. You have to be very patient, and you have to have loving kindness. Then they talk to the plant one, until, like what you did, until the plant respond. Because You don't think the plant cannot understand. If you curse the plant, you hate the plant wither off and die. Really? Because your negative thought and energy actually affect them. That's why it's all somehow interdependent on the environment and the vibration that they receive. So when you are in a setting where the vibration is very good, they actually become very healthy. They recover. Good. You observe all this and understand all this is very beautiful. That's why once you have that Dhamma, all this become like Dhamma teaching to you. Then you can actually experiment with many things in life. Then you realize they really follow this law, law of dependent origination, Paticca-samuppada, the law of mind, law of karma, everything you can see on, and all these manifestation, like develop great joy and wisdom for the cultivator of the way, because that is the way things are. Nature is nature. They are so beautiful. 很好啊, good.
Actually, 我在我的种子的，就是说我开始学种菜，然后慢慢走到现在哦。其实我觉得我从那个 plant 就植物啊，跟他们的 interaction 啊，我学到很多东西。因为 first thing first，你看到他们的成长，你的心态，你没有分别心，还有。 下来所有的，there's so many thing to learn from them.
对，沙土，但是你那个 farm 啊 plantation 啊，也是 meant to be 嘛，因缘法。因为你跟 Freddy 要买的时候，你带我去看嘛。我们去看了，我说你买哦，我说这个地方好啊，又不贵。Then after your farm 你买了，哇，you all actually were able to benefit from there, or interact and do a lot of things. Then he developed the interest to actually understand all this plant. Even 在你家种的那个 plant, yes, very beautiful. So all this is meant to be, because that is the way you develop the condition to like progress along the path of Dhamma. 时间到啊，它一样一样跟着来的。 Meant to be will be one. So a lot of things, now you look back, the causes and conditions, 好像, 因缘早安排, a lot is like that one. So all this understanding is very beautiful.
Actually, 我第一次去我的那个 farm 的时候, there was a Kuan Yin image appeared.
Oh, no wonder, sadhu.
Yeah. Oh, that's the condition. 然后我就叫别人就去看。
下来就是我所有的磨练都在那边，所有的
training 啦，我叫 training ground 啊。对，他就在那边，因为我们就说我去我种东西，我要 observe 那个 plant every day. No, I'm like kind of like 没有讲话的，因为要静下来 observe 他们，所以慢慢慢慢。 develop 那个 awareness of you know
啊，这样，所以，八万四千法门，我觉得是很对的。对的，很对的。每一个人的修行方向是吧，或者方法是不一样，但是到点。Yeah, for you, because you were able to integrate your daily mindfulness with all your activity there. That's why 我记得 early years when you progress that time, you even told me. 你整天呢，驾车去做完了，驾车回来，你不会累的 ，because your awareness is there, and you need to rest for a while only, then your mind become very different, very good, Sadhu,
因为我们就是我们刹那刹那要关我们的心嘛，所以那个那个
那个最important的，without that reflection and awareness to understand the way of the mundane mind, you cannot have self-knowledge. Right? You cannot learn. Right? You cannot see your own defilement. You cannot see your own wrong view and all those negativity of mind state. It's only through that awareness, guan na ge xin, then you learn. Well, that is what the mundane mind is. You have to transform that mundane mind through silent observation of what is. Then when you see it, you straighten your view, you come out of it, you become different. You completely transform. That is the real sati, awareness. Mm.
Yeah, 因为 brother 就因为如果你没有那个 awareness 去管哦，他哇很辛苦，很苦啊，就是
你的。Because when you use the thought to analyze, 看不到了。The thought is limited to its own space. So 你 analysis 啊 is actually the instrument itself limits you. Because when you analyze, the instrument is the thought.How can you realize the wisdom that is beyond thought, beyond mind? That's why don't analyze. Don't try to reason. Because that one is all thought-based. Just silent everything. Guan. Guan means aware. Then let it tell you the story. Let it manifest. And show it to you what that thing is. Then through that awakening, you come to realize clearly,Who are you? What are you? And how you function as a human being? And how you get yourself entangled with all the defilement and life? So through all this direct seeing, observation, and what we call guan na ge xin, you can straighten your view and come out of it and liberate your mind from it. Then after that, you will see things as they are. Then that wisdom becomes so powerful, you can be at peace with all things, like what you experience now as you go through life. That is the real one. Not the one trying to rationalize and all those things. That one is still at the knowledge level, the thought level. Although they have gone into certain depth, but not the real one yet. The real one is when you are completely silent and just aware.And that awareness nature actually insight into phenomena and awaken. And the silent observation awaken. When you see clearly, quan sing, that is a good word. That mundane mind, you need to observe it. To see how it is so conditioned. And how it has entangled itself through all the memory.The views, the opinion, the phobia, the whatever belief system that they hold on to tenaciously. Guan na ge, ni yi guan dao, then you start to realize who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human, and how you get yourself entangled in life, how anger come to be, how emotional come to be, how fear come to be.How your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant reaction to sense experience come to be. Then how come you cannot be at peace most of the time? How come you cannot accord and flow? So all this is the beginning of cultivation. Once you start to see this, then you need to develop the wisdom to straighten your view via the fourth way. Once you can straighten your view, then you develop stability of understanding.Then that yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience, the Dhamma understanding, they starts to arise. And that one, not from memory, it's in your nature. That's why 你们经过了你们有那个 understanding, you transform, you become different. Whatever you perceive at the moment of sense experience, that yoniso manasikara come out and prompt you, then you cannot move your mind already.You cannot stir, you cannot react already. Then you can stay there. Then you can allow it to be. Then the acceptance of that reality, you will come to realize like what I share. When you don't perceive things with negativity, you realize you are very peaceful, very beautiful. But whenever you perceive things with negativity, you stir your mind, you react, that is your old way. Means you haven't developed the wisdom.To straighten your view, to transform. That's why the egoic mind is still there, very strong. So all these are the phases of cultivation that lead one to develop the wisdom, to to develop the awakening and transformation. Yeah. So 这一段的修行, 很少人了解了, most people use the thought. That's why the thought based on a lot of knowledge, a lot of theory, a lot of word, a lot of rationalization, analysis. But the real one is just completely silent, just aware, like what you all gone through, which is very good. 很好啊, Alicia, Sadhu.
感恩 brother Gio, 因为在这里学习, 真的很, 就是很 practical 咯, 你学了, 然后你就放在日常生活,
对,
你就搬,
对, 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 就那个, 刚才你讲的, you go back to the old notes, that you record down when you go through the what they call cultivation of the Jing Kang Jing during the early years. Now, with your understanding, you read back, all the notes become so clear, no? The meaning. 那八种的 mind, now all become very clear.
Yeah, brother, 我在想, 诶, 其实我当下, 我就没有想太多, 我就是, 先断我的烦恼嘛, 先断烦恼,
那你都是depression嘛,断烦恼是最重要的。因为真的很,
对我而言哦, 你的所谓的not relax, 或者你烦恼心一出哦, 你整个脸崩,
worry, anxiety, 那个 fear,
很多很多的不舒服, 对我来讲,
对,
对, 这一切的苦, 对我而言, 我要断, 我要断这个苦, 所以就当下可能就是因为当下这个心, 我就一直走着走着, 就慢慢慢的就佛菩萨, 然后本来就该这样子慢慢慢走到现在所谓的你知道我们所谓的, 就是我们的duty啦, 我们的duty是什么, 来这个娑婆的duty是什么, 而且那天 after我的Tuesday class回来, 那哈玛哈卡鲁娜一直在play, 我说,
哇,沙豆,
那玛哈卡鲁娜一直在play, play到这么久, 然后到,
对,沙豆, 那个是 compassionate mantra, 很好啊, 那个,
yes,
它弄到你的心全部, 开到完, 因为 it is great compassionate mantra, 但为了众生, all this can happen,
Yeah, so Bradio, 我是非常感恩 Bradio 的 guidance, 还有佛菩萨, 所以, 还有很多的 gratitude, 很多也讲不完, 因为这个, 可能我三次, 我也是像 Bradio 讲的, 我三次死不去,
对,
然后就是观音菩萨, 在帮着,
对, 我说地藏王, 我说 help you,
所以就走到这边, 所以我很多的感恩,
yeah, 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 from you, because 以前, 你的 karmic conditioning, the consciousness, very negative, all the wrong thought, that's why 你第一次来, I remember, 十多年前, 那个 first Tuesday class, 你 suddenly, 看到 light at the end of the tunnel, 我看到你的脸 suddenly from the 苦瓜脸, 苦到死, suddenly got 一个 like very short moment of radiant smile, 一阵子了, but 我知道你就收到了, because for you, 你是要听到那个 first noble truth, and the second noble truth 了, so that night I focus on that, then 你听了, like you can relate to your life, yeah? That is the cause of suffering, no? Attachment, craving, ego, then 那个, what they call, I explain the thought that is harmful to you. So what constitute wrong thought can you recognize? So 我一 define 那个, 你就看到了。 So wrong thought are thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your frustration, your unhappiness. So everything hit direct, you know. That's why after that, you develop 那个 intent to 断那个 suffering, 那个苦, you just want to come out of that misery, that depressive condition, that condition so much suffering in you, then you realize to reverse all this, you need right thought. That's why from there, you develop gratitude, contentment, respect. So all those right thoughts develop and flourish. And like what you say, I remember in the early days, you must go and do something useful and good to help people. From there, your heart will open up. Because whatever you do to help the community, the people, or do your duty, the other one is you understand duty. Right duty is right dharma. So all those transform you, and you become so beautiful after that. You recovered not only from your depression, you recovered from your illness, your disease, your gastric and all those things. Then all of your depressive wrong thought all rooted out, and you become so bubbly, cheerful, and you become so efficient. You can help Freddie after that, help your company to do a lot of things very efficiently. And then you saw your life change. Freddie also saw business also turn around for the better, and everything go your way. That's why the last 10 over years was beautiful for you. So sadhu, rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, 感恩 brother Dio,
感恩。很好。
阿弥陀佛。阿弥陀佛。
Okay, let us end. We are 6:02 already. Let us share merit, transfer merit, then we end. Akasatta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tangan mudito cirang rakantu loka sasana ita wata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mahame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kanyin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu, thank you.